And it's 7 seconds after 7 p.m. right now. I'm Chris Moore. I'll be your host for KGNU's Opera Box in just a moment. It may sound like a clunker to you, but it's music to our ears. Donate your car, running or not, to KGNU, and we'll turn it into the great music you love to listen to. Call 844-KGNU-CAR today to arrange a free pickup. That junker, you call it a junker, I call it a classic, and it'll make it possible to bring classical music and other kinds of music, all different kinds of music from KGNU to your ear. More information at kgnu.org. Well, a lot is coming up. You know, January, by mid-January or so, things really pick up in the cultural calendar. So we have a couple things we want to talk about tonight. One will be Steal a Pencil for Me, coming up very soon with Opera Colorado. It's a world premiere, and that's going to be very exciting to hear. Also, this weekend on the 20th, Opera on Tap over at the Syntax Physics Opera in Denver is putting on a Baroque versus Romantic and a Classical versus Contemporary, kind of a knockdown, drag-out fight of the different styles, and you as audience members get to vote on which style you like the best after hearing examples of some great local Colorado singers duking it out on the stage with this. So let's just take a listen to some Baroque music right now, and then we'll go straight into some Romantic music. Let's start with some Monteverdi, one of the earliest, actually the earliest of the Baroque composers of opera. His first opera, Orfeo, being composed in 1607. Later, The Coronation of Poppea, which is what we're going to hear some excerpts from right now. So this is from a 3-CD set called Opera Baroque, and the highlights come from Italy, England, and France on the 3 CDs.
Ses exploits. la sol qui per sare curar la freuse obscurité de la nuit enflammée fait d'épouvante et d'horreur troublée le plus ferme cœur. Mais à la tête d'une armée Louis jette plus de terreur. Mais à la tête d'une armée Louis jette plus de terreur.
Thank you. dames d'an, retros del salim.
El fum d'an ma casine.
Ta mère bus ma mè.
Ta mère bus ma mè.
Dono ter l'amor sapare, e non so je ne me li.
Ma carriò.
Yeah.
Sospir, c'è
felice eterea mi valeraste in ante e da quel dì tremante vissi di gnoto dell'universo, dell'universo intero, misterioso, misterioso altero, croce, croce delizia, croce delizia, delizia al cuore.
Se c'è bene, accetemi, solo mi sto
Opera on Tap is putting on a Baroque versus Romantic and a Classical versus Contemporary, kind of a boxing match for opera lovers, I guess you might say. That's coming up on the 20th of January at 6 p.m. at Syntac Physic Opera in Denver. So don't miss that. It should be a lot of fun. I think that's at 6 o'clock, like I said, on the 20th. So it's just going to be a competition among different singers and among different styles. So we heard some excerpts of some Monteverdi first from the Baroque, and then several romantic excerpts after that to compare them directly right here. We are going to make a big jump now to contemporary opera. And this one's really major. It's extremely contemporary. In fact, the world premiere is taking place with Opera Colorado, coming right up on January 25th, 27th, 28th, and 30th, not downtown at the Denver Performing Arts Complex, but at the Meisel Arts Center in Denver. Steal a Pencil for Me is a Holocaust story, and it's also a love story, a love triangle, and pretty amazing that it's possible. And it's really basically a true story about three people, two who were married unhappily, and then somebody else who came into the picture, and then eventually the husband changed wives, and this happened during the time that they were in, you know, going through the Holocaust at the concentration camps. Steal a Pencil for Me. I talked to Gerald Cohen, who is the composer, and he also talked a little bit about his librettist, Deborah Brevoort. Let's take a listen to some of excerpts from that interview that I just did, and his opera, again, coming up very, very shortly with Opera Colorado. Well, Gerald Cohen, thank you so much for taking time to make this long-distance phone call to help us get ready for your new opera here in Denver.
I'm very, very happy to talk to you. I'm going to be coming to Denver very soon to attend rehearsals for the opera, but I'm still at my home in Yonkers, New York.
Now, steal a pencil for me. First of all, Ari Pelto, I believe, is conducting it here in Denver, and he also conducted it at your synagogue. Is that right, in New York, in like 2013?
Yes. The opera was finished in 2013, and it's the story of Jaap and Ina Pollak, who were Dutch Jews that fell in love while they were in a concentration camp, two concentration camps in Holland and in Germany. And the amazing thing is that I knew them very well, that they were members of my synagogue. Their story had come out as a book and then as a documentary. And so when I decided to write an opera and got their approval, we decided we would do that at my synagogue, and this was in honor of Jaap's 100th birthday and Ina's 90th birthday. So I can talk more about that. It was an amazing experience having them there.
We have both seen so many stories, movies, books, music, etc., about the Holocaust. And this particular one, there is something about the simplicity of the love triangle and a love story that somehow threads itself through the most horrific imaginable circumstances that really captured our imagination in there, and also the character of the people themselves and their radiance, their personal radiance. Did that affect you as a composer as well? Did that inspire you to write music that had perhaps a certain radiance about it, maybe?
Yeah, that's a beautiful question. I must say that, that is what certainly what attracted me to setting this story as an opera, and it's an interesting thing because I had known Jaap and Ina. I actually knew him as Jack in mm-hmm. In New York, but Jaap is the name he was called by his Dutch friends. I had known Jaap and Ina for many years, had known the basic idea of their story, and I also partly because I come from a family where both my parents were refugees from Europe, from the Nazis. I'd been thinking of doing a Holocaust opera for some time, and just had been looking for the right story. And then, I just finally found out or realized that this story was
right
under my nose, right?
Yes.
Right there in my synagogue with people that I knew very well, and that it was, as you said, kind of the perfect way of telling a story about such a horrible event, but one which was focusing on good but ordinary people and the difficulties they were having in their own private lives, and how even those even in such times like that, people are still people and have the needs and the love and the desires that they have during the rest of their lives.
So how did that,
and in terms of the radiance that you said, I just certainly they were very beloved members of our congregation and people who I admired so much. And as you said in that documentary, I think their personalities really, really come out very strongly. The documentary is by Michelle Ohayon. It was done, I think, in 2007. And as you said, it is available on Netflix. And I really, whether people are coming to the opera or just want to get to know a good story, I really do recommend the documentary as well.
I'd like to ask about you as a composer of opera as well, because as a cantor, I think that gives a whole different dimension to you as a composer. I think about some of the Eastern European composers back in the 60s and 70s when everything was atonal, I guess you might say, in Western Europe. But in Eastern Europe, the religious composers oftentimes either held on to something, whether it be specifically tonality or whatever. And I'm wondering if your religious training as a cantor and your musical training in the Jewish tradition has pulled your music towards something where every week you always have an audience. You have a whole congregation there listening to you, and you have to be answerable in a sense to them. Do you feel that sense of that your religious training in a way has given you a different kind of relationship to the audience that you're writing for, even when you're writing for a general audience?
Yeah, well, there are a lot of different things in that question.
Yeah,
that are all, I think, truly important to who I am as a composer. I have a pretty standard, I pretty serious, and my main background was as a classical musician.
Sure.
I grew up as a pianist and started composing at a very early age, and so really piano and composing were the main parts of my musical life from a very early age. But I was, from an early age, also a regular synagogue goer, and was involved in that. And from my teen years, from my bar mitzvah on, I did lead services, but I wasn't mainly a singer. And then after college, I just decided, at the same time I was starting my graduate work in composition at Columbia, I decided to also more formally study how to be a cantor with the idea of doing that, and did that and started working as a cantor. And I think as you say very, very well, that the being in front of a congregation every week, getting to sing in front of a congregation every week, and also for anyone who knows about it, as a cantor, there's also improvisation involved. So in a sense, mm-hmm. composing on my feet every week in front of a congregation certainly had an effect on seeing the importance of very direct communication with people. Also, I think, more and more becoming a singer as my life went on, and at the same time being a pianist, it was really important for me to be writing things which are very pleasurable for a singer to sing.
Yes.
And this is connected, I think, with my work as a cantor as well, just really thinking about how the words and music go together and having a very conscious and at the same time, I think by this point, for so many years, sort of inborn sense of writing for the voice and of setting words,
Now we're going to take a little break from my interview with Gerald Cohen and actually play some of the music. Almost none of you have heard any of the music from Steal a Pencil for Me. Why? Because it's a world premiere just about to take place. But back in 2013, back at his synagogue in New York, some people got to hear this performance of some of the excerpts. Ari Pelto, as it happens, who's our conductor here at Opera Colorado, also conducted this premiere, pre-premiere, I guess you might say, a few years ago. Let's take a listen to a couple of the songs. This is before the Holocaust is in full swing, I guess you might say. And the people, the main characters, the three people of the love triangle, are, well, the married couple is having a kind of a spat between them. All of them are wearing the Jewish stars that they had to wear, that the Nazis were insisting that everybody wear. And then later they go into the concentration camps, and at that point he falls in love with somebody that he actually met outside prior to the Holocaust, actually, like I said, in the actual concentration camps. Prior to that, he just ran into this woman and said, "That's the one I should have married." And so we're going to hear a little bit of the argument scene and then a little bit more of what the main male protagonist is thinking about and how he is, his first impressions, I guess you might say, of the woman who was destined to become his wife.
Please, you're a married woman. Act like
And of course, I have to end with an extra musical question in a sense, and that is that we never want to forget the Holocaust. And artists, I think, have a special place in that never forgetting.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of challenges do you see as an artist in terms of bringing the reality of the Holocaust alive over and over again in such a way that it remains fresh for the general audience that in your case you're writing for and that movie makers write for, et cetera, et cetera? What keeps it fresh for people?
Yeah, it's a hard thing because, you know, you sort of, the story in some ways has been told so many times in so many different ways. I did get a wonderful compliment from someone who saw the opera, who's you know, a Jewish, someone very much involved in Jewish communal life, and she said, you know, I just didn't know if I could go to another Holocaust opera, but I just somehow felt that what you did was very different in terms of you know, the particular vision that we gave of the telling the story. So I think that those of us who are artists just have to find our own most genuine way for ourselves to tell the story in a way that has meaning for us as artists, and that therefore will then convey the emotions of what happened and of the stories that we're telling to those who listen. You know, as I think you mentioned to me before, I wrote a piece called Playing for Our Lives, which is a string quartet, so without words, but it's a memorial to the music and musicians of terrorism. So in that case, it's using the music that people who are in a horrible situation, but were able to create beautiful music and to both to compose and to perform beautiful music, and how that helped them to remain alive. So I guess, you know, maybe a common thing between those two things for me is the efforts that human beings make through art and through love for each other, whether it's romantic or just, you know, human emotion, to stay fully human even in the that happen. So I guess for me that's kind of a common denominator between those two pieces and what I'm trying to communicate in this opera.
Right. Well, Gerald, I thought it was going to be 10 minutes, but I've enjoyed talking to you too much, so now I've gone on like, 20 minutes or something, so my apologies, but well, I really enjoyed our phone conversation.
It's really wonderful to talk to you, and I look forward to being in Denver in a few days. They're in the midst of their rehearsals, and so I'm very excited to see them rehearse and then to go to all the performances.
And I'll look forward to shaking your hand at one of them. Thank you very much. So again, that was a conversation with the composer Gerald Cohen, and he worked with Deborah Brevoort to create Steal a Pencil for Me, getting its world premiere with Opera Colorado on January 25th, 27th, 28th, and 30th at the Meisel Arts Center in Denver. And that's a major Opera Colorado event. OperaColorado.org is the way you can find out about getting tickets, if any are available anymore, because it's been quite popular. Now, we were talking before about Opera on Tap, and this kind of ties into it, I guess, a little bit. The Baroque versus Romantic, and also the Contemporary versus Classical. So they're doing a lot of back and forth on January 20th of different styles, and you get to vote on which style you like, and of course, probably which singers you like as well. Some really talented singers. And so we just played something contemporary, and this January 20th event at 6 p.m. is at the Syntax Physic Opera, and that's taking, let's see, that is in Denver. So let's take a listen to something from the classical era, just by way of contrast.
Madamina, il catalogo è questo, delle belle che vuoi il padre mio, un catalogo lieto fa Dio. Osservate, leggete con me, osservate, leggete con me. Alle 640, in Germania 231, 100 in Francia, in Turchia 91, ma in Spagna, son già 1003. Ma fra queste contadine, cameriere e cittadine, ma contesse e baronesse, marchesine e principesse, e va d'ogni, d'ogni grado, d'ogni forma, d'ogni età, d'ogni forma, d'ogni età. In Italia, 640, in Almania, 230, in Francia, in Turchia, nova tu la va, ma in Spagna, son già 1003. Ma fra queste contadine, cameriere, cittadine, contesse, baronesse, marchesine, principesse, e valdonne d'ogni grado, d'ogni forma, d'ogni età, ogni forma, ogni età, ogni forma, ogni età. Nella bionda olio all'usanza il lodor, la gente.
grande, maestosa, bella, grande, maestosa.
La piccina
e ognor vezzosa, e ognor vezzosa, e ognor vezzosa delle vecchie fa conquista quel piacere di porla in lista.
Passion predominante è la giovine principiante, non si picca se sia ricca, se sia brutta, se sia bella, se sia ricca, brutta, se sia bella, purché porti la gonnella. Voi sapete quel che fa, voi sapete quel che fa, pur che porti la gonnella, voi sapete quel che fa, voi sapete, voi sapete quel che fa.
Catalog aria from Mozart's The Marriage of Figaro. And again, we're kind of honoring Opera on Tap and their grand competition on the 20th of January at the Syntax Physic Opera, January 20th at 6 p.m. Baroque versus Romantic, Classical versus Contemporary Opera, all live and on stage and a lot of fun. You can just go there, have a beer and or a snack or wine or Diet Coke or whatever you enjoy, and just kind of kick back and hear the different singers singing different styles and vote on the style you like the best. I also was talking a lot about Steal a Pencil for Me, which is getting its world premiere with Opera Colorado on January 25th, 27th, 28th, and 30th. One more time, Meisel Arts Center in Denver, operacolorado.org for more information on that. And it was great to talk to Gerald Cohen, the composer of that piece. I might mention also that Boulder's Dinner Theater is putting on a wonderful production of Annie, and also Motones versus Jerseys. Only a few more days until January 23rd, and that's really a lot of fun. I have to tell you, I saw that and was amazed at how much I enjoyed the two singing groups. And some of them, by the way, are opera singers who are going to be appearing in these opera auditions that are taking place during the spring, like the Met Opera auditions. That's coming up on the 27th and 28th of January, so you can check that out at the Met Opera Auditions Rockies.org and find out more there. Well, it's almost 8:03 right now, so I went a little bit over time, but that's okay because I'm doing the next show as well. We are KGNU Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. I'm Chris Moore. This has been KGNU's Opera Box, and now, officially, it is time for a Classic Monday. And we've been around, this is our 40th year here at KGNU, if you can believe it. And some of us remember when we first got on the air 40 years ago. That's pretty amazing. And so we're trying to think of ways to bring the number 40 into our music. And so I am going to just start by doing that with the Opus 40 of Johannes Brahms. His trio in E-flat for piano, violin, and horn. Not a big sacrifice. My goodness, what a great piece that Brahms wrote here. It's in four movements. We're going to hear Lowell Greer playing the natural horn, Stephen Lubin playing a piano forte, so older instruments, Stephanie Chase playing a modern violin of the Brahms era, actually, as it happens. And so this is a Harmonia Mundi compact disc, Opus 40, in honor of our 40th anniversary year here on KGNU.